All right, well, it is 10:30, so we should probably get started. So I'm Nick Simons. I'm a program manager on the Office Web Apps team. I've been working on Office Web Apps for about 5 years, pretty much since we started. Now, this is Ken Juhas. He's another program manager on the Office Web Apps team. He's been with the team for several years. And today, what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about the Office Web Apps and all the stuff that is new. So I'm just going to get started here. As long as folks are comfortable and don't feel like moving into the middle. And I also get to stand by this behind this huge bank of monitors. So if I hide, you can't even see me. All right. Good start. We went backwards. All right, so just very, very quickly, the Office Web Apps are browser-based versions of Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote. There are other web apps in the Office family. Visio, the Outlook web app that you probably are familiar with, are two examples, Access. I'm not going to talk about those today. Specifically, I'm going to talk about these four applications because these four applications are the ones that currently come as part of the Office Web App server. And it's the infrastructure that we're going to talk about today is what feeds these applications. So if you have questions about the other apps, there are, in fact, other talks happening about those apps. I want to talk a little bit about how we actually deliver the Office Web Apps. And essentially, we have three offerings. We have what we call the Consumer Cloud, which is essentially that's SkyDrive. And what that is that's our ad-funded offering. It's when you go to SkyDrive, you can look at documents in these file formats on SkyDrive. It is run out of large data centers, and it is essentially the same technology that we make available on-prem for SharePoint, as well as we also have Office 365, which is our cloud offering. And one of the things that we've done this time around, which we had not done before, is we have essentially brought all of the technology together so that our consumer offering and our enterprise offering in the cloud and our enterprise offering on-premise all share a technical foundation. And this, as I will show you later, facilitates our ability to deliver change quickly, and it also makes managing infrastructure for on-prem people much simpler. All right, so this is what we're going to do today. I'm actually going to talk about architecture. So this is essentially the nuts and bolts of how Office Web Apps Server works. Now, I'm talking about the server product, which is the on-premise product. All of the technical details that I talk about essentially also apply to the Office Web applications in the cloud as well. So there's actually some insight you get there. I will go through that, and then I will do a demo. I actually have a bunch of servers set up on virtual machines, and I will do a demo of actually starting from not quite scratch, but close to scratch, and get an Office Web App server up and running and connect it to SharePoint. I know there are going to be, well, I expect there to be a lot of questions. Unfortunately, this is a very large room, and so I think we're going to have to hold questions till the end, but possibly while I'm doing the demo, depending on how much time we have, we can take some questions. And if not, I'm happy to answer questions at the end about both of the parts of the talk we're doing today. And also, we will be at the Ask the Experts tomorrow night. The second part of the presentation is going to be essentially everything that is new about our user experience. We've invested a great deal over the last several years to improve our experience. A lot of those improvements you can actually go and see right now on SkyDrive, and they are also being rolled out to the Office 365. Tenancies as we speak. Ken is going to come up and he's going to do a demo of our new user experience. And when he's done, we will take questions about both things. All right. So let's talk a little bit about how Office used to be, Office Web Apps used to be. So essentially, I don't know how many people here have deployed. How many people here have actually deployed the Office Web Apps in 2010? That is fantastic. That might explain why you're here. So Okay. So as you know, it's something you install on every single SharePoint farm server in your farm. And if you want to run them at scale, there's actually quite a bit of other work you have to do to make them work effectively. So you have to think about application servers. It scales the way SharePoint scales. There's actually quite a bit of complexity. And one of the other things that we've heard, there's two things, really. One is, if you want to federate between different SharePoint farms, you really don't have any options. You just have to set it up separately for each of your SharePoint farms. And also, as you will notice, we have other products besides SharePoint, although it's hard to tell from this particular conference. But we do have other products, like Link and Exchange. And they also integrate with Office in different ways, specifically in their web experiences. And they don't use the Office web apps in the 2010 lifecycle. And so what you can see is Exchange uses a third-party solution from a company called Stellant. Link uses actually an ActiveX control that is based on Office 2007, which now is getting a little bit long in the tooth. That's a hint. Upgrade, please. So what have we changed? Well, the really, really big change is we separated them. You no longer are installing Office web apps on SharePoint. It is now a separate, completely standalone server product. So immediately, that means there's a whole other separate server product that you have to deal with. And I totally understand if people's first reaction to that is, another server product? You've got to be kidding me. And we've had that conversation with many, many customers over the last few years as we've slowly tried to socialize this idea. But as I will try to show you today, there's huge advantages to doing this. And if you are small and you're actually setting things up just on, say, a single machine, or you just want to kick the tires, as I'm going to demonstrate today, you can actually run the Office web app server on a VM. Well, today I'm going to run it on a laptop. So I'm going to start making excuses now for the fact that I'm running the entire demo on a laptop with three VMs plus also an operating system. So essentially, here's what it looks like today. So you have one Office web app server farm, and it connects to SharePoint. But the nice thing is, most of our customers have more than one SharePoint farm. Once somebody has set up the Office web app server farm, now they can connect all of their SharePoint to the same Office web app server farm. And as I'm going to show you today in my demo, that is super, super easy. In addition, we have built integration into Link and into Exchange that also takes advantage of the Office web apps. And you might notice this green box up here, which we're calling open from URL. It's a terrible, terrible name and not terribly descriptive. What essentially that is the ability to use the Office web apps to connect to file shares or to really any URL addressable file and use the Office web apps to view those documents. So essentially, one of the things you now get with Office web apps that you did not get before is the ability to point it at pretty much any documents that you have in your organization. I really want to say any questions, but I'm just going to keep moving on. Take notes so that I get the questions later. All right, I'm going to talk really, really quickly about how the Office web apps work. This is really important to note also that this is how it works with SharePoint. This is how it works on premise. This is how it works in the cloud. This is also how it works with Exchange. This is how it works with Link. This is how the open from URL feature I told you works. What I'm going to show you here also could happily work where you just replace this SharePoint box. No, nobody wants to replace SharePoint, I understand. But you could replace that with a third party. And you also could take out this purple box. And because of some new APIs I'm about to tell you about, you could replace us with something else or just parts of us. So we've built this to be extremely open and flexible. So here's how this works. Essentially, so you're in SharePoint. When I say host frame, what I mean is a SharePoint page. You are in a document library. You are looking at a list of documents. And what ends up happening is when the Office web apps are set up, you click on a document, and we're actually going to open up a new page. And there's going to be inside of that an iframe, and that iframe will actually point directly to the Office Web App server. A bunch of information gets passed on the URL, and that information includes things like where the file is stored, and as well as what we call an access token, which is essentially authentication information. And then we use this protocol, WAPI, which stands for Web Application Open Platform Interface. But really, we just like WAPI. And essentially, it talks back to SharePoint to get the file, to find out the permissions on the file. And essentially, that's the special sauce in this recipe. And also, when you're thinking about network infrastructure and you're thinking about where things can go wrong, our biggest issues tend to be network configuration issues. And they tend to be the fact that because of WAPI, there is a need for the Office Web App server to be able to issue requests to SharePoint servers. And there's need for the SharePoint server to be able to issue requests directly to the Office Web App server. So it's extremely important when you're setting up your networks that you actually take those connections into account. In any other way, this is like any other web application or any other web page. This is a fairly standard flow. But the WAPI part is a little bit unusual. OK. I'm already on my second glass of water. Performance and scale. One of the things that we've put an immense amount of energy in, and one of the really big wins that comes from pulling ourselves out of SharePoint, is that while the SharePoint team has done an immense amount of work to improve performance of SharePoint, we run our service, the Office Web Apps in the cloud, at enormous scale. And one of the things that we've done in order to run our service at enormous scale is we've invested very, very heavily in making sure that we get the most out of every single server in a server rack in our data centers that we have all over the world. And if you're using Office 365, you get to take advantage of those data centers all over the world. Because of that, now that the on-prem server product uses that same architecture, it also takes advantage of that incredibly increased performance. So what you end up seeing is our ability to scale out. So one server, like a sort of industry standard server, can serve 20,000 typical users. It's insane. We have 10 servers that we set up to handle all of our Microsoft dog food traffic. And now, admittedly, a lot of that traffic has been moved to Office 365. And so more and more, we're working from the cloud because we want to dog food that. But we still do a lot of internal stuff because it takes time to transition everything. And those servers never even tick over. We never get over 2% CPU utilization. We don't need all those servers. We probably would be fine with 2. And Microsoft has over 100,000 employees. The other thing to note is, because of the way we're designed, it's extremely easy to scale your farm. So what you can do is, you can start with 2 servers. 2 seems like a good bottom number, only because if one were to catch fire, you still have another one. And essentially, if it's not enough, you add another one. It's not hard. As I will show you, it's extremely easy to add new servers. And as I mentioned before, I'm just looking at my slide, you get one farm for your entire network. Once you've set it up, you do not need to set up more farms. There may be special reasons you need to if you have specific security policy, or maybe if they're in completely different locations on the planet, that might be another reason. Okay. One of the things that we've done to make the Office Web Apps extremely easy to manage is all the machines in a server farm are the same. There's nothing special about, there's almost nothing special about any machine in the farm. They're all running the same services. They all have the same information. They share settings. There are no individual settings on any given machine. Ideally, all the machines are identical. Like, you should buy the same hardware. And what that means is that if a machine falls down, it doesn't matter. When you need to grow your farm, great, just add another machine. You don't have to think, is this an Excel machine, or is this the special machine? Now, there is one special machine, which is the machine that has settings on it. But even that machine, all the settings are distributed. So if that machine were to explode, A lot of violence is happening to this farm. It's not normal. If that machine were to explode, then what you can do is you actually just run one quick PowerShell command and some other machine will take over. It's very, very simple. And we designed it that way because we knew we were putting an additional burden on admins to manage this additional server role. So we just wanted it to be crazy simple. There's no SQL. There's nothing except for Active Directory, which I will talk about the requirements in a second. OK. Let's talk about security. Now, I could talk about security for about an hour, but I don't have that kind of time. So essentially, here's the key thing. This is HTML. It is traveling over the network. And as I mentioned earlier, credentials are being passed on the requests. Now, we've done a lot of work to make sure those credentials don't get leaked by, you know, for example, for the assorted cross-site scripting. We put them in things like we put them in the body of a post instead of putting them on the URL. We do a bunch of things to make that secure. But at the end of the day, the best way to protect your network traffic is encryption. And the way you do that is with SSL. You really, really need to commit to having SSL encryption. The only exception to that is if you were on an internal network and you had fully encrypted IPsec, which I don't think very many people do. Microsoft doesn't do full encryption. We only do identity management through IPsec. But essentially, that would be an alternative. Otherwise, you got to get certs. You got to get SSL set up. It's super, super important. Now, that having been said, we've done a bunch of work such that the information about the file and the information about the user that is passed on requests is limited to that user and is limited to that file. So even if that were compromised, it would only be that one resource that was compromised. And that's something we've put a lot of energy and effort into, and it's included in our documentation for other implementers of our protocols. Nonetheless, we wouldn't want that to happen either, so use SSL. And you will be fine. We've also done additional work to help people secure farms. So if you're setting up your farm and you're not putting it on a private network, then we do have a bunch of features that allow you to restrict which machines can join the farm. That takes advantage of Active Directory and security groups. And the other thing that we do just with SharePoint right now is we have a trusted connection between SharePoint and with the Office web apps. What that allows us to do is escalate sometimes. So even if a user does not actually have certain types of permissions, the best example is in the Excel forms case, where we can do things where we can actually change a document that the user doesn't have permission to change because the owner of that document has said, I want people to be able to fill out a form that uses that document as a data backend. That's a really cool new feature in Excel. And that trusted relationship between Office web apps and SharePoint is what enables that feature. We wouldn't want anyone to be able to issue requests. I'm sure you have questions. OK, load balancing. If you're going to have more than one server, you're going to need to have a load balancer. When I say any load balancer will work, there is a caveat. And the caveat is we really, really want server affinity. So we want to make sure that requests coming from front-end machines, which is all the machines, come back to that same machine. If you don't do that, we don't fall down, but you will see fairly dramatic perf degradation because we really can take advantage of locally cached information once we start up a session. So we are generally stateless, which means that when servers melt, again, violence, but when servers melt, we can handle that and we will actually just move everything to another server. Nonetheless, there's fairly big advantages to having a load balancing solution that uses front-end affinity. At Microsoft, we're using F5 load balancers right now in our dog food environment. You can use Cisco load balancers. We've actually done some tests using the IIS-based load balancers, which is called R, which is AAR or ARR. I can never remember which. But essentially, it's a modern load balancer that you can run just in IIS. And of course, the other thing you can do if you're load balancing is we do have a feature that we have built that allows you to terminate all your SSL at the load balancer. So instead of having to deploy search to all the servers in your farm, you just put them on the load balancer and your farm speaks HTTP. Big advantage of that is, well, you don't have to worry about cert management as much. That's not super hard, but you don't have to do it. But the other advantage is there is a perf improvement because you're not encrypting all the traffic from the load balancer to the servers. I don't recommend doing that if your own network is not secure. I just want to talk about rolling upgrades. So one of the things that you can do with the Office Web Apps is you can actually just upgrade in place without taking down your farm. There may be, because some of our services do actually have a little bit of state, there may be some hiccups when you're doing this, so I'm not recommending doing this during peak usage. But essentially, the way you would upgrade a farm is if you have a farm like this, which is all purple. You take half the farm out of rotation. Then you upgrade that to the next version. Switch the load balancer over to that new farm. So the green actually represents a completely new farm. It's so easy to set up new farms that what you're actually going to do is take all these machines out, rerun the setup scripts. It's all going to be set up again. And they're just going to point the load balancer to the new farm. And then you're going to take all the machines out from the purple farm. You're going to upgrade those. And then you're going to join them to the green farm. And now you're upgraded. That's how that works. It's very, very simple. Here are the prereqs. All of this is in our documentation. Our documentation is excellent, and it is on TechNet now. You can go and read it. I used that documentation to set up my demo. So take a quick look at this. I'm sure you have questions, but ultimately, I'm not going to read you this slide. OK. Here's how this works. How are we doing for time? We're at 10:52. So this is the PowerShell command that you have to run to set up the farm. I'm going to talk about this when I do the demo. But essentially, this is it. You run this command, you're done. This is the PowerShell command you run to join a new machine to the farm. This is all you do. You just install Office Web Apps on the server, you run this one command, and you're finished. There isn't anything else to do. This is a little bit more complicated. Oh, no, I'm lying. It's not. Essentially, this is how you connect SharePoint to the Office Web App server. So essentially, you run some PowerShell that issues. So SharePoint issues a request to the server that you just told it about. The server says, here's everything I know how to do. This is all speaking, again, in a part of the WAPI protocol. And basically, at this point, while you do have the ability to do some customization, we have a bunch of PowerShell. So it's very simple to get started, but we have given you a lot of the knobs and levers to customize certain things. But fundamentally, this is what you do. And so this is the PowerShell you run. You run this PowerShell on one machine in the farm. You do not run this on every machine, just one machine in the farm. No software is installed in SharePoint whatsoever. All it does is tell the config.db, hey, there's a WAPI host. There's a WAPI application. The WAPI application does these things. It knows how to view, edit, embed these types of files, and that's it. I will say, though, that just so we're clear, everything is through PowerShell. We did not build a graphical user interface for our UI. It would have been really boring. It would have just been one text box, and you would have typed in it. So we thought, you know, PowerShell should work, since most people want to script this stuff anyway. OK, this is my favorite part. I am going to do a demo. So the first trick is figuring out how to make you see this machine. All right, I'm already ahead. Next, there, and now the mouse works. So we'll close this. So just to explain what I have here, this is Windows 8 running Hyper-V. You all knew that Windows 8 could run Hyper-V. Windows 8 can run Hyper-V. And so what I have set up on this machine is I've set up a SharePoint server, I've set up a domain, and I've set up an Office Web App server. And right now, nothing is connected, and the Office Web App server doesn't actually exist. So I've already installed all the software because that just takes time, and I don't have that kind of time for the demo. But essentially, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to run this PowerShell commandlet, which I have already pre-typed because I'm a terrible typist. OK, I will let it run, and I will explain what it does. So essentially, what you see up there is you see the command new Office Web Apps Farm. That's the command you set up a farm. I'm then including the parameter external URL. Now, I could also include one for internal URL. We support both an internal URL and an external URL. So if you have different URLs, I'll explain this now while it's up. One of the things I said was editing enabled. So what editing enabled does is it turns on the editing functionality in the Office Web Apps. So the Office Web Apps, I'm going to say yes to that, because it takes a little bit of time to get this going. The Office Web Apps are free. They're completely free. You go online, you download them from the download center, you set them up, they don't cost anything. Viewing is always free. It doesn't matter whether you're using SharePoint, whether you're using a third party, whether you're doing open from URL, viewing is always free. The editing functionality in the Office Web Apps is not free. It's something that you get with Office licenses. The actual EULA is complex. I did actually have some input into it to try to make it as simple as possible. Still, I recommend looking at it. We tried to make it English. But essentially, if you have Office, you have the right to let people use Office for editing. And in order to make that happen, you need to do editing enabled in here. So essentially, I am done. I now have an Office Web App server working here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to SharePoint. And I'm going to show you, here's SharePoint, here's the document library. This is what SharePoint looks like when you do not have Office Web Apps installed. So when I click on New Document, again, remember, this is all running on VMs on this laptop. VMs on a laptop, SharePoint is much faster than this, especially if you're running it in the cloud. This is what happens if you click on New Document. This is, you can choose a file. That's great. That's not terrible. That's great. If I were to click on one of these documents, it would try to open it in the rich client, the desktop application. And if I click on this, let's choose one that would work. If I click on this, you can see the call out. Now, you might recall from the keynote, this was way cooler than what you're seeing up here. That was the Office Web Apps. So if you don't set up the Office Web Apps, you miss out on some of the cool stuff. All right, now what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to go into the PowerShell for SharePoint. And all my resolutions were changed, but I think I'm going to be all right here. OK, so on the WAC server, on the Office Web App server, WAC is our code name. No one here is expected to know that. On the Office Web App server, you were using a standard PowerShell command prompt, and you were running as administrator. On here, it's the SharePoint 2013 management shell, which is essentially PowerShell, but it's a little bit different. So what I'm just going to do is I'm just going to, oh dear. This is the command, and I should start from this end. Did I mention I'm a terrible typist? See how putting it in Notepad made it all so much simpler? Here we go. All right. So what I'm going to do is try and use a mouse. Paste. OK. So this is the commandlet that's going to actually set things up. Let's see if this works. I'm super confident. This has actually worked repeatedly. Oh, it's done. I'm sorry. I didn't have time to tell you anything about it. Essentially, I just ran the commandlet. So now, that's it. I'm almost done. There's one other thing I need to do. I talked about security earlier. How many people here are familiar with zones in SharePoint? Again, most of you, which explains why you're at this conference. So we have a concept of zones in the Office Web Apps as well. We have an external URL, we have an internal URL, and we have the concept of HTTP versus HTTPS. HTTPS is obviously what we prefer, but we support HTTP for people who just want to kick the tires and who want to test things. So essentially, depending on how your SharePoint is configured, you're going to want to choose the correct zone. In most cases, if it's going to be internal and external, you're going to want to choose external HTTPS. So what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to run a commandlet here. I'm going to run set. I'm going to just type it because it actually is going to work fine. I'm going to type it with out of space. So there's SPWAPI binding. Here's SPWAPI zone. All right. So essentially, this is the command. And what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to just say dash zone. And I'm going to say external dash HTTP. And then this will tell SharePoint which of the bindings it just created when I ran the first SharePoint. That's it. I'm done. OK. I'm going to go back to the browser. I'm going to refresh this page. And while this page is refreshing, I just want to quickly go over what I did. I essentially told the Office Web App Server, it's all happening too quickly. I told the Office Web App Server that it needed to set up a farm. It set up that farm. If I wanted to add another machine to the farm, I would have done the same thing, except instead of running new Office Web Apps farm, I would have run new Office Web Apps machine. And then when the farm was set up, I came back here. I had to know the actual machine name. Sorry, I've been ignoring you guys over there. Hi. I had to know the actual machine name of my farm. I went to SharePoint, typed in my command, and now what you'll see is if I click on New Document, I now have an experience where I can actually choose document types, and I can click on those, and they're now just going to create new documents in the web apps. And now if I click here, you can see now we get a preview of that document. And if I click on here, and OK, that was fairly quick. And this is a VM running on a laptop. So you can imagine why we scale so well. And essentially, that's it. We now have Office Web Apps running on my VMs. And now Ken, who is also very brave, is going to do his entire demo on these VMs as well. So I'm going to call Ken up here. He's got some slides. And then he's going to actually show you a demo.
All right, thanks, everyone. I'm Ken. I'm also a program manager on the Office Web Apps team, as Nick said earlier. I'm going to walk through a few slides on the user experience differences between the Office Web Apps that are out now, that came with 2010, and 2013. Office 2010 reshipped Office Web Apps, and they came with SharePoint. Nick showed this earlier, but that was the main entry point into the Office Web Apps. Our core tenets that release were familiar, high fidelity, and available everywhere. We wanted the Office Web Apps to be familiar. You'd be able to use them if you're a longtime Office user and would have a very quick learning curve. High fidelity was really important to us, especially in the viewing experiences, that we were able to take the products that we have, Word, PowerPoint, Excel, and OneNote, and use the technology that we've had so far to make sure that we had 100% fidelity viewing experiences. So your document formatting stayed the same, even though you were looking at it in the browser. And this continues to be really important to us, but it was one of our main competitive advantages last release. And when available everywhere is really why we decided to go on the web. We pursued the technologies, HTML, JavaScript, CSS. In Office 2010, we also had some Silverlight in the mix. The good news is this time we do not. For PCs, Macs, and phones, basically here I'm saying the types of devices that we delivered this everywhere access in 2010, these are the areas where you could get to the Office web apps without any problems. Because we're a web page, you can try to get to us anywhere. Now we've added some functionality. Nick talked a little bit about this, but internal websites, file shares, as you see on the far ends, this is the open from URL functionality. Any HTTP addressable endpoint, we can go ahead and download that document and let you view it. Exchange and link integration, we also worked hard on this release, and with the same Office Web App server, you can get viewing functionality and presentation meeting functionality in those products. We expanded the tenets for Office Web Apps in the next release, or this release. Advanced authoring, I'll talk a little bit about, and I'll walk you through some of that in the demo. But basically, an effort on our part to make sure that if you are in the Office Web Apps for your editing experience, and that's all you have, that you can still get a lot of work done. And then working with others, I will also talk about a little bit more, but we really wanted to make sure that because we're the everywhere access solution, we paid special attention to these scenarios where you are collaborating on a document, you're asking someone to review a document. The last thing we did is we've expanded our matrix of supported devices to include tablets and smartphones. And we think that that's also going to be a big win because our team is still very committed to everywhere access. And we've all seen that in the past few years, these areas are important. So let's talk about working with others. There's three core areas here. Document review, which is this idea of, or the scenario that I have a document, I'm working on it, and I want you guys to give me feedback or help me get to the final product. We hear from our customers that this is a very important scenario in their workplaces. It's a very important scenario in our workplace. So we wanted to put some effort there. In the Office 2010 web apps, editing was the real, that was the core part of the scenario. Like, that's why we didn't just deliver viewers. Like, we wanted you to be able to share a document with anyone, even if they didn't have Office, and still get work done. Multi-user authoring is this idea that you both can be in the document at the same time, you can be making edits, and that's a seamless experience. In 2010, we delivered Excel web app and OneNote web app. We delivered experiences there. And meetings, WAC participated in the meeting scenario by offering presentation broadcast. You could go into PowerPoint, start a presentation, and anyone could view that presentation in their browser, even if they didn't have Office on their machine. Now, we've added two things to the document review column, change tracking and commenting. So this helps. Both of these are big parts of the scenario. If you want to send something out and check what type of changes they've made, you'll be able to do that. In addition, we've added commenting into the PowerPoint and Word web app so that you can have conversations through comments. And we think that that's going to be really important going forward. We've completed the matrix of multi-user authoring. So Word web app and PowerPoint web app can now do simultaneous co-authoring. You can have multiple users in the document. And we think that that's really important. And for meetings, we worked really closely with the Link team. So we have Link integration, async navigation, being able to move forward and backwards in someone's presentation that you're watching without causing any trouble. And media playback, just PowerPoints that have audio or video work fine for meetings now. And the key point here that I should be doing a better job of driving home, but this is always with anyone with a browser. Like, that's why the Office web apps are important. That's why you should deploy them in your enterprise. That's why our customers get so much value out of them, is that all of these scenarios you can do, and you don't need to worry about if the person you're working with has Office on their machine. So when we talk about across devices, this is Office 2010. Editing was on PC and the Macs, and we have viewing experience across all the devices. Now we have editing experience on tablets. That's iOS and Windows 8. We have a device-optimized experience for tablets and smartphones, so we put more energy into the smartphone area to make the viewing experience more pleasant. And then this last column, phones, is we do still have a way dumbed down experience for any type of phone. So if the 50% of people that still own those older type of phones that have those crazy web browsers, you can actually still view a document there. So advanced authoring. I talked a little bit about this, but we wanted to make sure that in the Office web apps, you are able to do significant editing to your document, spend time in there, and get to the final product that you want. So I'll show you a little bit about that. All right, I'm going to switch to the demo. So again, this is the VM that Nick set up. So we've got the browser on here, pointed at the SharePoint box, and we have a couple documents loaded. The first thing that I'm going to open up is Word, and here you can see the new UI from Office 2013 is also carried over into the Office web apps. One of the features that we added in the viewer was commenting. So I can open up this comment pane on the right side of my document. And we've left a few comments in here earlier. but I can select one of the comments, go ahead and click reply. And post this comment. One of the other things you'll notice is that we have a checkbox here to mark as done. So because I could go in here later, make the change, and mark it as done, you can also delete comments all on this pane. If you move through comments by clicking on them, it'll move the document to show you the comment location. What I'm going to do now is go into the editing experience. And just to remind you, what editing used to look like in 14 or Office 2010. This was the Word web app editor. You may notice that it's missing margins or page size. Can you still hear me? While you can make edits, you do kind of have to juggle back and forth between the viewer and the editor to really see what your document is looking like. We thought that we should definitely improve that this release. So now, this may actually be confusing because it looks a lot like the viewer, but this is the Office Web Apps editor for this release. So you can see that it is looking, you know, you have the page size here. I could go into the page layout tab. I can change the page to make it more narrow. I could change the orientation. All of this without any problem inside the Office web app. So this will make editing Word documents a much more fluid experience. I can also go in here, and we've added this release the ability to apply picture styles. So I can go here and change the picture style, reuse the same rendering engine for the picture styles as the Word client, so it will look exactly the way it will on the desktop. And lastly, I'll just show you, you know, you can do text manipulation by coming up here. You can do your, you can have styles without any problem, and you know, I think it's just really easy, really fluid to edit here in the browser. You can see how fast it is. There's really, really great performance, which was another area that we thought was really important in this release. And last thing, down here in the corner, you'll see about 1,000 words. We just added word count this release. We heard from a lot of people that was an important feature for them. I'm going to jump over now to Excel. There is an Excel web app session this afternoon that's going to talk all about the Excel web apps. It's at 3:15. And John Campbell, a PM on the Excel web apps team, is going to be diving deeper in here. But the first thing I want to point out is that the UI, again, has been updated. It's familiar. As you move across the web apps, you'll get the Office 2013 experience. I can jump in here. I can do number filters. I can say, oh, let me see the top 10. Well, that was interesting. I can filter. It will update in real time. I can also, in the Excel web app, jump into the editor. I can take this information here. I can insert new charts. Very quickly, very easily. So the Excel web app is going to be a great experience this release as well. Next, I'm going to move over to PowerPoint. PowerPoint web app. Again, you'll see a familiar look and feel to the client, so you should be able to pick it up and use it pretty quickly. Word and PowerPoint viewers. We spent a lot of time on performance this release, so we do a lot of work to make sure that loading and viewing documents is going to be very fast. In addition, I should just point out again that this is all HTML and JavaScript. You do not need Silverlight for these experiences. So I'm in the PowerPoint web app now, and I'm just going to show you that we've improved the animations. So I'm just clicking here through a slide deck that we put together. We have some cool animations. Put tables. Oh, this one actually was. See, that's kind of cool. We've got the year showing up. And then the last thing is we did add this release the ability to embed YouTube videos inside of the PowerPoint. I'm not sure if this machine actually has internet access, so it looks like it's not going to work. So because we did all of this on VMs, and this guy down here is saying that there is no internet. So I can, from here, jump into the edit experience again in PowerPoint web app. And it's going to load it up for me. And I could go select a slide. And one of the new features that the PowerPoint team worked hard on is bringing in their shape manipulation. So I can take a shape, I can resize it, I can put it wherever I want on the slide, all here right inside the browser. And I have these, you know, cool different options here. I can also change the design of my presentation at any time. I can add cool animations like fade in. And you can really do a lot of work inside the PowerPoint web app. There are comments, so I can insert a comment here, much like the old experience, and keep it in the web app. So that, again, this is really going to help collaborating with people that don't have Office on their desktop. They'll be able to do a lot of work with you without running into too many hiccups. The last thing I'm going to do is move over to OneNote. One of the things that we got a lot of requests for was the ability to do ink in the OneNote web app. This release, we're delivering on being able to view ink in the OneNote web app. Unfortunately, we did not have time to add the ability to do the inking. So if I go to presentation ideas, load it up. This is all ink here inside the OneNote web app. Again, HTML, JavaScript. So that was actually it. I walked you through a quick experience of the Office web apps and what we've delivered this release. Nick's coming back up, and we're going to be here for questions. That's basically the plan. I think there's microphones. It looks like there's one here and one over here. We're happy to take questions about the Office web app server or the Office web apps experience this next release. So thanks for watching our presentation.
Thanks. So we already have people asking questions. One thing I do want to quickly just remind folks is that we are updating our data centers now once a month. We're planning to move that to be even more quick. That's for mostly fixing issues, but we're also delivering new features on a fairly rapid cycle. The other thing that we're doing is because of our new architecture, it's super easy for people to upgrade the Office web apps without touching SharePoint. And consequently, we actually plan on updating our on-prem product more rapidly as well without hopefully interrupting your normal SharePoint upgrade cycles. All right, let's take some questions.
Yeah, thank you very much. How does the editing actually work? Is it happening on the Office web app server, or is it happening on the SharePoint server? And how is that request going on?
So actually, what's essentially happening is... So if you remember everyone heard the question because he had a mic. Essentially, if you saw there was that WAPI protocol, and essentially what's happening is a lot of the heavy lifting is actually happening on the Office web app server. So all the rendering and determining what should actually be changed is happening on the Office web app server. And then it's a little bit different from app to app, but essentially what's happening is we're sending messages back to SharePoint. So we aren't storing the document on our servers. We're constantly telling SharePoint, hey, here's the update. So essentially, it's being saved on SharePoint. So if we melt, it's still OK. But essentially, all the actual rendering is happening on the Office web app server. Let's move over to this side.
OK. It looks like a lot of this stuff really doesn't have to do so much with SharePoint. And I guess my question is, with the new version, should the Office web app servers continue to be managed by SharePoint admins, or should that be an own separate product managed by a different group?
So I'm not sure if everyone heard the question because it was a little quiet. But the question was, should Office web apps be managed by SharePoint admins or by a different group? And I think the answer is really going to depend on what your organization looks like. And in fact, what we're finding more and more is some organizations are not deploying SharePoint. They're deploying Exchange, and they want Office web apps functionality in the Outlook web access, at which point it's the Exchange admins who end up having to set up the Office web apps. Some organizations are actually dedicating resources to setting this stuff up. It's really going to depend on your org. Certainly the skill set, well, there isn't much of a skill set for the Office web apps. As you saw, it was very, very simple. But the skill set is very transferable from anyone who knows how to set up a server.
Yeah, it kind of seems like you guys are really trying to just make it branch off away from SharePoint itself.
I would say we're trying to make it more of a foundation piece that lots of products can take advantage of, even non-Microsoft products.
One last piece with regards to this. If you have a 2010 or 2007 environment where you don't have Office Web Apps deployed yet,
yes,
and you are looking to deploy Office Web Apps, are there any special precautions or gotchas we need to watch out for and how we design that and roll that out that would help prevent foreseeable problems when upgrading to 2013?
So there are a few things. Because the Office Web Apps are installed on SharePoint in 2010, when you install them, they leave behind some stuff. There's basically some features that get added that we don't need in 2013. But we've taken care of all of that with our upgrade scripts from 2010 to 2013. So really, you should feel free to, well, if you're not going to just upgrade to 2013, you should feel free to go ahead and install the Office Web Apps. The one thing that I will say, though, is these ones are much better. And like, while we've added features, and there may be more features coming in the next service pack, our experience, we invest very heavily, and we're very, very excited about this release.
Thank you.
Over here.
Yeah, the open from URL feature, third parties can integrate with that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The thing about the open from URL feature, it is viewing only. If you were a third party and you were, you know, building some type of document management product or some other maybe custom solution, you will be able to, if you want to expose the document, it needs to be exposed publicly. There's no additional security that comes with that feature. You could build some yourself with maybe like an access token or. But basically, the way Open from URL works is you can build a URL parameter to the Office Web Apps that says, hey, go fetch this document and render it in the browser. So that's pretty open. We built it that way so that you can do a lot of things with it. But it also means that there's not a lot of advanced functionality that comes out of the box for Open from URL.
But also, one thing to note is that WAPI is a publicly documented API, and a competent developer can implement a viewing host in about 2 days. So essentially, that would include some type of authentication, so that it's very, very easy to. So if you're Documentum or if you have a third-party solution and you want to use the Office Web Apps for viewing, that is trivial. Editing is not trivial because you have to build our all the editing stack. It's a thick documentation like this to do that. That's also an open. You're welcome to try. That is a public API. But the viewing piece is very, very simple. I can do it. Implementing hosts is something you can do in a couple of days.
Okay. And a separate question. I heard there might be some licensing issues with the Surface. Do you know anything about that?
With the Surface.
Yeah, because of the Office license that's on it.
So what I would guess. I'm not a licensing expert.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
I would guess you don't have one if you have a Surface. Like, you don't have a license for editing.
Right.
Viewing is free, though. Viewing will always work.
Okay. Thanks.
So is it possible to use the Office Web Apps 2013 with a SharePoint 2010 deployment?
No.
Oh, that is unfortunate.
All right. Hopefully an easy one. The comments and the track changes and things like that, does that transfer through to the document itself? So if I'm editing in web apps, the comments are there. If I open the document in the native app, will those comments show up?
Yes, absolutely. And one of the features I didn't show in my short demo was just that in the viewers and in the editors, when you're in the Office Web Apps, there's always that button that takes you to the client, as we refer to it, and all of that stuff is going to be there. If you have the desktop client installed, you'll have a great experience there, so you might want to consider clicking that button.
Awesome. Great job, guys.
Cool. So we were also very interested in the open from URL piece, pointing at file shares. Mm-hmm. It's view only, as you said. You didn't mention something about the WAPI host being an open API as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What's the roadmap for that overall, then, as time goes on with the WAPI host piece?
We believe very strongly in standards and in open protocols. We would love to see third parties integrating with our server, so building WAPI, like basically in our diagram, replacing SharePoint with their own thing. We built it to be very simple, especially the viewing. So we are committed to that in the long term. And you can even imagine a world where not today, but maybe soon, people will be able to, say, have a solution that integrates with our data centers. We don't actually have a model for selling that yet, because that's us running infrastructure, but we could imagine that in the future as well.
Okay, so the WAPI host then, that doesn't rely on us being on SharePoint or Exchange. You can actually stand up something else.
2 days.
You can do it the other way, too. I mean, you could write your own Office Web App server. I don't know why you would want to do that, but
yeah, you could. That part's not an issue. Yeah, the WAPI host part was interesting, though. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. I have some quick questions. First is we separate the SharePoint tool with the Office Web App. So, can I just deploy the Office Web Apps without a SharePoint?
You absolutely can. Obviously, you will need to have some way to actually view the documents. So you can deploy them and just use the Open from URL feature. You could deploy them against the third-party host.
Or Exchange
or Link. But you do not need, there's no connection anymore. You can deploy the Office Web Apps and you don't need SharePoint.
Okay, that's great.
Although you lose a lot of functionality without SharePoint. You'll
have a hard time editing.
You can't edit without writing.
Yes, I don't need to put my document on the SharePoint.
No.
Supposedly in the file share.
Yeah.
So I just need to deploy the Office Web Apps to edit the documents, right? Okay. Another question is you mentioned the Office Web Apps is free. So it means customers don't need to buy Office anymore.
That's right. I mean, for viewing is free.
So
we have a very strong belief in our ecosystem. So ultimately, we don't want anyone to ever worry about creating an Office document and having to worry about somebody else being able to view it. We want you to be able to use Office, create a document, send a link to someone, and know that they're going to be able to view it. There's no question whether they have Office or not. And one of the ways that we're doing that is by providing this infrastructure. We provide it on the web, and we're going to provide it, you know, for you guys on-premise as well. And that's so that basically you can trust that Office documents will always work for everybody, no matter what device they're using.
Okay, so technically, if customer want to do some simple documentation work, they just can use the Office Web Apps.
Well, editing isn't free, so if you want to actually create documents, you do need to buy something that gives you a license to edit, and
okay.
That right now is Office.
Okay.
So you have to buy Office to use editing.
Yeah.
So in that case, it really is more of a roaming feature.
Okay, so can we deploy the Office Web Apps across the SharePoint farms? I mean, two SharePoint farms can consume one Office Web Apps?
Absolutely,
yeah.
What about different domains?
So different domains are going to work fine as long as the network is configured, as long as those URLs work. So they don't need to be on the same domain. You don't have any authentication issues because all of our authentication is handled by OAuth tokens. The question was, what if it goes across different domains? So we use essentially an OAuth type model. It's not actually OAuth, although it is in SharePoint, but it doesn't have to be. But essentially, yeah, that's going to work. Unfortunately, we're almost out of time.
No, we have till 45.
Oh, we do. Excellent.
I'm going to jump over here. We're happy to stay around and chat more later.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry.
Sorry, I have two more questions.
so do I.
Office 2003 is supporting the SharePoint Office Web Apps.
I'm not sure I understand the question. Let's let some other people ask questions. I will stay and I will answer all of your questions afterwards.
Yeah.
Does that sound okay?
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. A bit along her lines with regards to you're mentioning about Office Web Apps being free, only the viewer, I understand that. Mind you, though, in a lot of the demos, you're saying, well, you can collaborate with people that don't have Office, right? And then you're showing, and then you're actually editing stuff. So two questions. One is if the person already has their own Office on-premise, right, although they're not in your org, then can they edit? And two, is, do you have a session on licensing later on here or at the Ask the Experts?
So I know quite a lot about licensing, although I will occasionally flee from questions because they're complex. But I did help write the license, like I said. We could talk about licensing more, I think, at the Ask the Experts. That might be a better choice. But there are some interesting features, especially that are available in O365. So if they have Office and you want to share a document with them, in many cases they may need to use the Office web apps because of permissioning. There's actually things that we can do with the Office web apps that the rich client cannot do yet. We call it the rich client. We need to stop doing that. We're very rich also. But essentially, there's a feature in Office 365 called, it's basically, it uses a URL that has an active, like has a token on it, where you don't even have to sign in. You can send a URL to someone and they can actually edit the document. That doesn't require a license at all. You can just send it to them and they can edit that document and we're not going to get upset about the fact that they didn't buy Office. They can go ahead and use the web apps and edit the document, add comments to the document. You can collaborate with them. That's extremely useful when you're working with partners outside of your organization. That just works and it's seamless.
And is that available on-premise also? Or?
Let's talk about it at the Ask the Experts. It's a little complicated.
All right. Thank you.
Hi.
Excuse me. That's our last question. So when we edit the document with Office Web Apps, it's a kind of self-signed action. So how long is the timeout?
8 hours.
What?
It's about, so the standard is 8 hours.
8 hours.
After 8 hours, the web app will show something that says refresh it.
Okay, that's great.
So you get a warning. So if you're working for longer than 8 hours at a time, you will get a warning saying, hey, you need to refresh your session. That's because of our security token that needs to have an expiration.
Okay, thank you.
So can you kind of go through how the caching works?
Which caching? There's so many caches. But the caching you're probably interested in is our distributed disk cache. So essentially, we have a distributed disk cache on farms where once a document has been viewed once, we keep track of that. And we keep all of the, we don't actually keep the document cache, but we keep the rendering, all the stuff that we use to render the document cache. So the second person who visits, we don't even have to go back to SharePoint to do anything other than get permission to show them the document. So we just basically go back, say, can we show this document, and has it changed? And if it hasn't, we just use our local cache. That is a distributed disk cache, so it doesn't matter which server you hit, you'll always get to use that cache.
So that's, I guess that was sort of leading into, if you've got a load balanced Office web app environment, how does it update that across the?
So essentially what ends up happening is one of the things that when somebody makes a request for a document, that server that received that request, the first thing it does is it broadcasts the request to all the other servers in the farm saying, hey, does anyone have this? Because that's so much faster than going out to SharePoint and getting it.
Okay.
And then if anyone does, we let that server give it to the front end.
And if any updates?
If there are updates, we have to go get a new version, but that's why we still have to ask SharePoint for permission to show it to the person and for any changes.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Hello. You mentioned that each Office web app server can handle 20K users.
Typical users. If you're heavy Excel usage, that goes down.
Mm-hmm.
It depends somewhat on your usage patterns. Mileage will vary.
Can you share like what the minimum or recommended system specs are for those boxes?
So I will share this is what we are using at Microsoft. In general, what we're doing is we're saying it's the same as SharePoint. So basically, use the same type of machines you would set up for SharePoint. The machines we set up in our lab are 16 core machines with 32 gigs of RAM and some hard drive. It doesn't have to be a very big hard drive. 8 core machines work really well. Apparently, it will also run in one core on a VM. But that's not recommended.
Okay.
But sort of standard server, 8 cores, is going to get you the 20K usage. That's what the tests were done against 8 core.
And 32 gigs of RAM.
32 gigs of RAM. RAM, it's always, RAM is good.
Yeah, RAM's cheap, right?
Yes, and RAM is cheap. Machines are not that expensive anymore.
Rack space
is more expensive.
Yep.
Hi, question. For extranet scenarios, would you recommend the same Office web apps farms for external internet access versus that one reference internal?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So We have a really good white paper on the internet already on topology, which talks about how to set that up. We recommend putting the web apps farm inside of your corporate network, and then using and then basically using the firewall to route traffic out to the internet. The load balancer can actually handle all of the routing. We recommend one. That's actually particularly important. If your SharePoint farm is also on both, then you really need to use one web apps farm, because there are some scenarios, like especially Excel co-authoring, that all need to hit the same server. If you distribute it between two farms, that scenario will fail.
Okay, great, so. Thanks. And the paper covers securing the Office web apps for the extranet. Great,
it does.
Great, thank you.
And of course, I'm happy to talk about these things in more detail at the Ask the Experts.
Yes. So the first question is there like an autosave kind of functionality? I mean, if someone's working away.
So autosave, actually, saving is automatic in PowerPoint, Excel, and OneNote this release. Word does not have autosave. It's something that's on our radar. But if you do make a bunch of edits and leave and don't save, we do store it for, it's usually about a week. And if you come back, we'll ask, hey, you have some changes here. Do you want those, or do you want to start fresh?
That's a new crash case, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you crash. If you leave, we'll ask you, like, we'll try to stop you and say, hey, you should save your document.
All right, excellent. Second one, can you talk through the scenario why you would want a second Office web app farm?
Why you'd want a second farm? You wouldn't. You want a second machine.
No, okay. But there's no situations you would...
Okay, so there is a situation. You could imagine a situation where you need to, for example, disk cache. Let's say that you have an incredibly paranoid group that doesn't want anything cached on any servers. You can turn off our distributed disk cache. It will hurt performance pretty substantially, but it is a way to make the farm more secure. You probably wouldn't want to do that for your whole org. You might want to give that group their own. Another situation would be if you have a very large organization and it's global, and you have people in Japan and you have people in Europe, as long as they're on different SharePoint farms, you probably also want different Office Web Apps farms.
Thank you.
It seems like you guys are moving more and more stuff to the web app versions of these programs. Part of the reasons that we've been kind of slow to adopt Office Web Apps for us is we keep getting feedback from the users that the web app versions don't do everything that the clients do, particularly Excel when you're talking about macros and stuff like that. With the new versions in 2013, are there still limitations, things that you can't do with the web apps that you can with
absolutely.
The client?
Absolutely. That's going to be there for a long time. Like, macros are not something that I think will probably ever make it to the Office web apps. Like, there is a new development toolkit that you can learn about all, I think, here for Office client. Like, that's probably what will make it to the Office web apps. But as we're building the Office web apps, like, 20 years of client development, it's not all going to transfer to the web. And we like to think about it from a very scenario-focused perspective, and that's why right now you'll hear us talk a lot about working with others, anywhere access. I think you will see us continue to add features to the Office web apps. We're going to invest heavily there, and you're going to see us deploy those updates faster, both to your on-premise web app servers and to our cloud. But I think, if I want to be honest with you, there's just no way every feature is going to make it over.
Okay. And what are the minimum browser requirements for full functionality with the Office web apps? I know we're currently at IE8, and that's something that we just adopted. So
IE8 is on the list.
You're all good.
we'd be much happier in IE9 or IE10. And I think we say for Chrome and Firefox, at the time you release it, that we pretty much want you to be on the latest,
yes.
Or latest minus one. And then in the cloud, we move pretty fastly. It's hard to keep supporting these old browsers. With IE, you'll see us supporting IE8, IE9, IE10. We did get rid of IE7 this release on our list. But if you're on Chrome or Firefox, you should be updating those things pretty frequently.
Mine's actually along the browser support also.
Okay.
I'm not real familiar with OAuth, but right now we're using Kerberos to authenticate the browsers, and we're supporting non-authenticated devices. We're essentially authenticating the browser. Is that going to go forward in 2013, still using Kerberos in conjunction with OAuth to essentially authenticate the mobile browser, authenticate the client's browser, and to have a single sign-on scenario?
So essentially, I think the answer to your question is no, but what you want to use in SharePoint is claims. Claims gets you everything you need.
Okay.
If you're not using claims, switch to claims. It works. It gives you single sign-on. It works across devices. It works across platforms. And classic auth is deprecated. And so as it stands right now, the new Office Web Apps architecture relies on claims authentication. And I believe there is a whole talk about claims that some may have already happened.
Actually, I think it's this afternoon.
Oh, great. Yeah, Switch. It's awesome.
Okay. Thanks.
And not hard to switch.
I had a quick one about the new Office apps, a model for SharePoint and Office that you can create these JavaScript-enabled applications in the rich client. Are those respected or do they work in Office web apps?
I think right now the answer is no, except for Excel.
Excel does.
Excel does. I think that's basically the answer. Excel has support for those new apps. I think that, you know, it's important to us, but we just don't have it right now.
Yeah. Seems like that would be close on your radar.
It's very, very close. And to be honest, I mean, a lot of people have left, but we're very, very interested in your feedback. If you tell us what things you want, we're building things all the time. So.
Okay. If we want to do a hybrid deployment of SharePoint, can we use the WOAP services from the on-premises farm?
So the way hybrid is going to work is you will use your on-premise Office web apps for all your traffic.
Okay. Thank you.
Two quick questions. One of them, in the word-rich client, the color schema for track changes is determined per machine that you're using. How is it being determined in the web where there's, you know, no machine to look at the
It's by the user.
By user, going to be by user.
But it could not match up. That is an unfortunate side effect of that. But right now it's by the user.
Okay. The other question, is there a programmatic way to understand who are the people who are co-authoring on a certain document? So, for example, for me to kind of programmatically understand, you know, for this specific document, who are the people who are actually now in a session co-authoring on it without going into the document?
So there is a way to do that. You can do it through COBOL. Oh. It is going to be pretty complex.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure it would be worth implementing. Okay.
And just a quick clarification, you guys said that you extended the co-authoring to Word and PowerPoint as well. Also in the rich client or just in in the rich client as well? Yep.
Yes, in the rich client as well. Excel rich client does not co-author.
Continues to be the exception.
Okay. That's the only exception now. So, okay.
Thank you.
And they feel really bad about it.
Hi, really good to see all the changes. When you opened up the Word document in the scenario you gave, you were effectively editing the document in viewing by adding comments. So what are the permissions based on that if you've only got view permission on the item?
If you do not have edit permissions, right now, if you do not have edit permissions, you cannot add comments to the document when you're viewing it. You actually do have to have edit permissions. We are investigating doing a commenting only permission, which if you're interested in that, you should send me mail, because that gives me ammunition.
It wasn't that, actually. It was more around the permission of making sure that you couldn't edit the document.
No, yes. We will not let you change the document in any way that the user would not. Like the owner of the document wouldn't allow, adding comments.
I think we're at time, so if we want just the last few questions, we can come up here. That way everyone can.
Although there isn't a talk after us.
Oh, that's true.
So you can just go ahead.
Okay. Can I host my web server under Windows Azure?
Azure?
Yeah.
So I can't think of a reason why not, but it isn't something we've tested.
It's not something we've signed up to.
Because you may have a different on-prem on a different Java.
It should work.
If you're gonna, you could try it because Azure is free to try.
Yeah.
And tell me how it works out.
Okay.
But we have, it's just another scenario.
I think it'll work.
Yeah, it should work. Yeah.
Okay. Just one last question. It's about when using a different browser, like you have a Safari and you have a IE, and using a co-authoring, will they have the same experience?
It'll be perfect.
Same experience.
Okay. Thanks.
Would working in a POC environment, would there be anything stopping me from installing the web app server on a SharePoint server?
Yes.
You can't do it?
No.
Okay, cool.
Thanks.
You could do two VMs.
They argue.
I know, it's just from a proof of concept. I mean, if I didn't have to order servers and so on and so forth.
So I will say that it doesn't take that long to set up VMs. I mean, my proof, like the proof of concept here, it's an extra 10 minutes of pain.
Okay.
It's something we talked about a lot, but SharePoint is very greedy about ports, and so are we. And so when you install us on SharePoint, we blow away SharePoint and vice versa.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
I do have a question about running SharePoint 2010 in a SharePoint 2013 environment. How OWASP would work at that time? So I'm not actually upgrading to a 2013 experience.
Right.
I'm actually running in a 2013 implementation, but in a 2010 mode.
Oh, I can answer that question. You're going to get the new web apps.
The new one.
Yes. So we do not support the old style installing. So when you're running in 2010 mode, you still need to set up an Office web app server, and then you'll get the new experience in 2010 mode.
Okay. Thank you.
And all
so
this
much.
Works. I believe that is. Oh,
yeah,
no,
so I came back for one more question. Sorry about that. Yeah,
no,
so we did.
Questions.
Yeah, we did a POC, a proof of concept around using the file share, pointing it out at file share, doing the view only.
Right.
Everything was great on the. We had a custom web application that was basically taking it in after a search result, clicking that
cool.
in, opening up the Word doc.
Bike.
And the issue is we would really like to do the WAPI host part next, right? Because
right?
we can't really rely on our SharePoint infrastructure at our firm to be out fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find anything on how to do a WAPI host.
So I'll make a promise.
Yeah.
Before the end of the year, there'll be a blog post that gives you details. There's a PM on our team who's working on it right now.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. I'll see WAPI
clients. It'll probably be before the end of November.
Okay.
I'll go tell him he needs to hurry up.
Yeah, that's right.
but he's actually written one, and he's writing the post, and I don't think he has anything else to do, so hopefully it'll be done fairly quickly.
All right, right on.
There is documentation, but it's very, very, it's very, very dense. We're going to make it simple because it is so simple. If you want, I can give you my card and make sure you get it.
Yeah, the docs that's out there right now, is it on MSDN?
So the docs that are out there on TechNet.
So there's
two things. I think everything's on TechNet, so you can search for MS-WAPI if you want to see our protocol documentation.
Yes,
nobody wants to see our protocol documentation except for lawyers.
Yeah.
And the EU. But basically, there will be much more user-friendly documentation in the form of blog posts and white papers, and those are in progress.
Okay,
I'm going to write some, but we have a guy who's working on it right now, and I will send him mail right after this saying, get to it.
All right, sounds good. I'll change cards with you then.
Okay. Right. So the question is, what happens if SharePoint returns documents from file shares in your search results? Do they work in the Office web apps? And again, unfortunately, the answer there is we didn't get that scenario. We missed that one. But you're not the first person to ask. So we'll probably look pretty hard at that soon.
So I think I heard that you can mix standard and enterprise users inside of a SharePoint environment.
Wouldn't surprise me.
So how would I do something like that with Office web apps?
So if you're worried about, I'm assuming you're worried about licensing.
Yeah, licensing.
So there is a licensing feature that's built into SharePoint, and we.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up. Why don't you come up?
Yeah. Thanks.